We're going to begin tonight with a series on our calling. Now, here's something that each of us need to understand. There is not a Christian that does not have a calling. A Christian that says they don't have a calling is a Christian that just hasn't experienced their calling from God yet. Many people, and the majority of us, we never plan to become pastors, or we never plan to become evangelists, preachers. That's not in our plan. But if it's in God's calling, then he will wake us up to that calling as we go along. Now, first of all, the calling is for us. As I'm trying to focus throughout this year on our commitment, the only way that you can experience a calling, folks, is to have that calling experienced with the church body. Now, people can sit at home and say, okay, God, I know he's talking to me, and he's talking to me to do this, and he's talking to me to do that, so I don't need the church. That's not scriptural. Every calling every Christian has is to be used based on their connection to his body, the church, his church. So it has to be connected with it. Now, we have a lot of evangelists that are sent out. Paul, was he not sent out from the church? It was the churches that would send him out. And they go out, but they still have their connection with the church. Teachers are all the same way. Romans 8:28 reads, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Okay, when I get the calling is not for my purpose. Your calling as a Christian focuses on God's purpose. You and I don't train for a particular calling. Once we receive the call, and I try to tell this to every young man, an individual that's going into ministry, your call to serve is the call to study. Your call to serve is a call to study. Then you study with the guidance and by the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the professors, which sometimes you got to go over their head and get back with the Holy Spirit, because it's obvious that they don't know what they're talking about sometimes. Don't tell your professor that, son, unless you expect a C or worse. Yeah. Yeah, I can picture. That's what when he got cocky this morning, I had to smile, because you see, it's just like a rooster. Until they get cocky, you can't knock them off their perch. But Ephesians 1:18-19. My prayer is that light will flood your hearts. Okay, before you and I can present Christ, before we can present Christ, we have to accept Christ. Before we can present, to teach, or to preach the Word of God in the calling that he has given us, we have to accept the light of Christ. Again, you cannot get educated into ministry. You cannot get educated into ministry. Ministry is a calling. Each one of us are in ministry. Once I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life, I was a minister. I might be a bad one. I might be a poor one. You might be an honoring one, but you're still a minister. You're still a minister in some area that God is calling you. My prayer is that light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God called you. When God calls me, when he called me, and see, I can only do this from the personal standpoint. When God called me, he called me to give hope. And my calling to give hope to a lost and dying world also meant that I would be giving hope to myself. The more I read the Word of God, the more I focus in prayer on his Word, then the more that I understand that the hope is for me, and if I accepted that the hope is for me, why would I not want to share that hope with the rest of the world? Why would I not share that hope with my family? Why would I not share that hope even with my enemy? Because my enemy is the enemy of God. And I'm not talking about foolish stuff like we Christians get in. I'm talking about those that are enemies to the church. And you're seeing a lot of them today, okay? If I preach hope, then they must be under conviction in order to accept that hope. And that hope is through Jesus Christ. That's what I'm to preach. I'm not responsible as to whether they accept it or whether they believe it. That's not my job. My job is to proclaim it. Understand the hope that was given to you when God called you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours. Now, this is something on Ephesians I really want you to look at verse 19 here. Pay attention to it. You especially, Mitch, you need to pay attention to something. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together. Okay. We come together. That's what I said, you know, when I'm kicking off this 2014. You cannot win battles in your life if you don't show up to fight. You cannot stand together united as the body of Christ if you don't attend. So it's an idea of every calling we have is ours when we get together. You see, okay, you having a gift, you having a calling. That calling, think of how many times it's multiplied when each one of us with our special callings, we hook up like that chain I keep talking about, and then that will be yours together with all of God's people. Now, I am to get together with all of God's people in order for me to be able to understand my calling. How does that work? Do you realize that people watch us and they allow, and every one of us are a teacher. Every one of us, we got kids at home, the kids watch. Sometimes they watch and hear way too much, but the kids watch, right? Okay, we have a world, we have a group of witnesses in heaven and all that are watching us. But the main ones that you and I are focusing on are the witnesses of the world. I can talk all day long about how I would love to see the lost saved. But if I do not focus on what God has called me to be focused on, then I can just talk it. A lot of Christians talk a good game until they realize that Christianity is not a game. Hope is not a game. Hope and Christianity go hand in hand, and it's a calling, a powerful calling for us. But that we can only make that calling blossom when we're together with one another. Why? What if I stumble? What if Randy gets up there and all of a sudden he's preaching and he looks down at me and he says, listen, you can draw a blank preaching. You can draw, you're standing there and you know, you're preaching up a storm. And then that subconscious of yours is connected with God and you said, Lord, do you have any idea what I was getting ready to say? I sure need a little help right now. That's where I like the amens. No, Gene, it's just, it's just the way it is. Yeah, it's not old age, it just happens. One thing that does, it makes people think also. Have you ever been rooting for somebody that was speaking? You want them to do so well that you're so eager for them to do well. Every word they're getting ready to put out, you're helping them. Amen. Yeah. You're helping them because you want them to succeed. That's our calling as Christians, to help one another succeed in our calling. So therefore, we will undergird each other. You know, I will slip and say something in a pulpit that I didn't have any business saying. Look down, look down at Randy for help, Mitch at help, or into the rest of you, and you're sitting there saying, "Oh, he got in trouble on that, didn't he?" But it's just the way we are. But we have the heart for each other. When you have a heart for Christ, then you have a heart for other Christians. But you cannot give those other Christians your heart if you don't show up. I've never seen a person fight a battle when they didn't show up to fight. Again, don't talk the game. Get in the game. Let's get personal with 8 facts about our life's calling. 8 facts. Be good for us. You ready? Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. All right. Deep statement. I think I even did a few sermons on that over the years. Many are called, but few are chosen. Now, you're going to find out tonight that every human being has a call. And that call actually is given to us prior to our birth. God knows what we're going to do. That's why I was trying to help somebody earlier today in focusing on, because they've went astray, then I won't get to see them in heaven. When I said yes to Jesus Christ and he saved me, don't you remember that feeling of salvation, the excitement that you had inside of you of that salvation? Okay, when I received the Spirit of Christ, was so excited. God saw me that way. Now, if I could lose my salvation, then him saying that he forgave me for my past, present, and future sins, that means he knows what I'm going to do in the future. And way back here, he saved me anyway. You got that? Okay. Because you and I mess up from the human standpoint does not mean that God messes up through Jesus Christ from the spiritual calling. Jesus doesn't mess up. He wants that personality. He chooses a personality for a certain generation. You and I have one shot in this generation. My generation's almost gone. A lot of generations I've watched. I know with Mom, one of her great problems is, she had a lot of friends, but they're all dead. She's going to have to go home to heaven to get to see her friends. And now she's living in a world, the world that she doesn't understand. And I go in and talk about the world, and she said, but it makes common sense. And she has a friend named Mary, and I said, Mom, what does common sense have to do with anything that's going on in this generation? Common sense is not common in this generation. But she looks at this and she says, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to think. I don't understand it. Well, you and I as Christians have a calling. Whatever that calling is, when we get together, you and I can give hope right in the midst of situations where I don't understand what's happening. You know, I couldn't explain to her what's happening because I don't understand what's happening. I don't understand a nation that has been given so much that will pull so far away from God. Although, seems like the Hebrew nation did the very same thing, did they not? Did the very same thing, given all of it. Remember what got them here? Now, here's your good sermon, son. Here's what got them. You've already got plenty. Here's where the problem is. Remember when they were out in the wilderness for 40 years, God feeding them with the manna, angel food we call it. God feeding them with the manna. Everything is fine. Pillar of fire by night, clouds by the day, and feeding them angel food. Their sin was they decided to save it up just in case God didn't bless them tomorrow. What was that? That was doubt had moved in. All those years, they're following him, trusting him. He's keeping his end of it. And all of a sudden, they say, we'll save it up. Remember what it turned into? Yeah, maggots, worms. That's what happens to our life. I cannot save up my gift. And neither can you. Matt, you're going to say, okay, I'm waiting for just the right time, God, and then I'll do this. Then I'll stand up for you. Then have you noticed that just the right time never comes? I wasn't called at just the right time, my time. I was called at God's right time. Okay, let me go with it. For many are called, few are chosen. A lot of people are given the opportunity to accept that blessing. Few will be chosen in that opportunity. Why? You don't make a deal with God and get by with it. You don't start bargaining with God. That's a foolish bargain. Yeah, not only you lose your daughter, you might just lose your hope. See, you take everything away from me that you want to take. You take my hope, you destroy me. When I look inside and I see no hope for tomorrow, his promise of today, his hope for tomorrow, if you destroy my hope, I've dealt with too many personalities that take their life, getting ready to take their life. Why? And the answer is always the same. They see no tomorrow. There's no hope for tomorrow. And if I have to live through the hell that I've been going through and I live through this hell tomorrow, I don't want to live any longer. How many times I have heard that over the years, folks? So what happens? God touches hearts of his children and says, I'm giving you a ministry. Your ministry may, the only part, let's say that out of everything going on within the world, your ministry is at a certain time, God's going to send a kid in your life, a child, and that child is going to witness hope through something you say or something you teach. And you say, well, I just did that to one child. Well, what if that one child was Billy Graham? What if that one child was nobody that you'll never hear of later, but when you get to heaven, you will find out that that child was able to touch the heart of thousands. And you were there with your ministry at that time. There's no more important ministry than any others. I'm called to preach. That's my ministry. It's not any more important than anybody else's ministry. Fact number one. My calling is a gift from God, meaning I don't get educated into my calling. It's a gift from God. Galatians 1:6, God, by his grace through Christ, has called you to become his people. 2 Timothy 1:9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. You do not live such a life that God said, I can use you. You'll find out here again in a second that the calling is before you were ever born. Let's listen to fact two. I am called for God's purpose. Again, you are not called for your own purpose. You're not getting a calling and then you abuse the call to make money or do anything else. That's normally the sin in that. But you have the gift of the calling, but it is for God's purpose. And when you misuse that calling, then guess who you answer to? Look at Romans 9, verse 11. You're talking about Isaac's with Rebekah's, the two boys, Esau and Jacob. Remember the story? Let's listen to Romans 9, verse 11. Before the two boys were born, God told Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. This was before the boys had done anything good or bad. God said this so that the one chosen would be chosen because of God's own plan. He was chosen because he was the one God wanted to call, not because of anything he did. You and I have no idea about tomorrow. We have no idea about the rest of the day. But I know one who does, and you do too, as a Christian. So God knows what's going to go on later, what's going to go on tomorrow, and he also knows exactly what's going to go on within our life and when we're going to leave. Everything focuses on God's will and not because of anything you or I do. Oh, Lord, I'm going to do this so I'll be more lovable in your sight. Larry, you weren't lovable to begin with. I just loved you. See, God loves the unlovable, doesn't he, Larry? Yeah. He loves the unlovable, and he looks into our hearts. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Already prepared. Okay, what was prepared? Good works. And God says, here's your calling. I've called you to do these good works. The difference is, you'll have a good work, I'll have a good work, all of them will be good works, but not necessarily the exact same works. You got it? But if it's given to us by God, it's good. And you'll know whether it's of God or not. And I listen to folk a lot anymore saying this. How do I know that it's God speaking to me and not Satan? Try the spirits to see if they are of God. If what you feel like you're getting ready to do is not biblically blessed by God, it ain't God telling you to do it. Or outside of his character. Yeah. Yeah. And we have to be careful about, again, our calling and our purpose. My calling and the purpose given me is God's calling and his purpose for somebody else. Well, we minister to each other. You can't say I love you and then never show up. Lord, I love you. Well, are you going to show up for my church? I died for it. Well, I'll just tell you I love you and you'll know it. That doesn't go very far, does it? You know, whether, you know, a husband or a wife say, I love you, and I'll see you in about 6 months. Where are you going? Oh, I just think I'm going to go out and find myself. Y'all remember the days when it looked like every other person was going out to find themselves. Yeah, would you please look in the mirror? You're there. You're not going out to find yourself. You're going out to find everything but what God wants in yourself. Fact number three, God chose my calling before I was born. There's a group that can really take that one and twist it around. God chose my calling before I was born. Okay, but folks, many are called, but few are chosen. Larry, here's your calling. I have it here for you. Okay, then that means God's going to make me do it. No, Larry, I have a calling for you. And then when you step out in faith and you stand strong in faith, then God blesses the calling. You will find out that nobody can do your calling. Listen, folks, remember I said every personality is different? Not a snowflake is the same? That's a lot of snowflakes from time, beginning of time, isn't it? Ever the same? Therefore, I'm blessed with having a calling, and you can't do my calling. No, it doesn't mean if I slip that somebody else will come in and follow my calling. No, it doesn't. They can't. It's only one. He's called me to do it. Now, will God use another way or another Christian to get to one? He will never leave salvation in my hands or your hands. Because we're human beings and we'll mess it up. How many people you hear, okay, now that you're saved, here's what you got to do and here's what you don't do. And they just told you, well, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we add it all on right after. You dress like this, you don't dress like this. God says, listen, I chose your calling before you was born. Galatians 1:15. It pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born with undeserved mercy. Don't question why God uses anyone. Gosh, I was trying to think of Paul was blind and he was sent down on Straight Street and to who is it? Matthias, thank you. Ananias, thank you. Ananias. And then you remember what Ananias said when God revealed to him to go to Paul? No, he said, Lord, do you know who this is? I like that one. Lord, do you know who this guy is? Okay. It pleased God in his kindness to choose me and call me even before I was born. What undeserved mercy that is. Jeremiah 1 verse 5. That was Galatians 1 verse 15 in the New Translation. This one is Jeremiah 1 5 in the Message. Before I shaped you in the womb, I knew all about you. Before you saw the light of day, I had holy plans for you. Isaiah 44 2. I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. All these abortionists have got a lot to answer for, people. I'm telling you, a lot to answer for. Their sin is not just against an unborn child. Their sin is directly against God. And I know it's hard for you, but pray for them. For they have no idea as to how bad that it's going to get. Fact number four, my sins and my mistakes don't, oh, thank you, Judy. My sins and my mistakes don't change my call. All right, I'm called to preach. My sins and my foolishness or my mistakes cannot change. That means if I could, then would that not be me in charge of my calling? Okay, listen to 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 and 13. By calling me into his service, Jesus has judged me trustworthy. Even though I used to be a blasphemer and a persecutor and contemptuous, mercy, however, was shown me because while I lacked faith, I acted in ignorance. Christians really have a bad case of the stupids a lot. We really do. And those are what we would call out of ignorance. How many times have you said, somebody would ask you advice and you've given them a scripture and then 2 years or 3 years or 2 days later, you realize, wait a minute, that wasn't right. That's not what that scripture meant. And you got it there. That's why I'm very careful with what is presented on the broadcast. Sometimes you broadcast things, and sometimes it's best that you hope that it is not broadcast because you can mess up. Here's your... My mistake, though, will never change my call because the mistake will be out of ignorance. The mistake will be, if I'm preaching, I tell you all the time, I have a certain fear, and it's a big fear about misleading or getting the scripture wrong. I can't not handle that. It's just all over me about doing that. But when it does happen, and it does happen, that doesn't change my calling. The mistakes I will make in life doesn't change my calling. I listen to people that say that God called them to preach, and then later on they say, well, I'm not called any longer. That's not biblical. I'm sorry, that's not biblical. Now, I can reject that call. I have the freedom of choice to back away from my calling. But I also, in doing so, see that my freedom of choice is going to make me miserable. Why did the Hebrew children, why did the Israelite nation have such a problem? Because they quit trusting God. And they started trusting self and started trusting their power as a mighty nation. Were they a mighty nation? You better believe they were. They didn't have to fight a battle or anything else. God took care of it. But when they decided, well, I don't want that person over here. You're going to let the Gentiles go to heaven? Well, who do you think you are letting a Gentile go to heaven? Only the Jews can go to heaven. And so God allowed what took place with them. But do not ever doubt this, folks. They are God's people, God's chosen. Don't mess with them. if God is quite capable of handling what it takes to keep them in line. Did you have something, Mitch?
You're talking about the misinterpretation of scriptures. My prophetic counseling studies, I came across a story of an individual who was a renowned prophetic counselor and had a lady come into his office that he had counseled their marriage, and she was thinking about leaving her husband. Well, after some counseling and whatnot, I hadn't heard from them in a while. Well, she comes back into his office and decides that she is going to leave her husband because God told her to. He questions her about this, and she says it's plain in the scripture to put on the new man.
Yeah, I guess that'd work, wouldn't it? Old things have passed away. All things become new. You are a new man. Get you a new man. Yeah, yep. That works with the mind, but it doesn't work with the actual calling, does it? Well, now, I'll tell you, though, in areas like that, in counseling, many counseling sessions that I never dreamed I would ever say, I've told women, you need to get a divorce, get away from that idiot. It is not God's will in a marriage that you get beaten. It is not. That has nothing to do with God's will. That's not a marriage. And you don't. And I'm talking about psychologically and all. There's a lot of ways to destroy people. It's not. Now, if that ever happened, Larry, you wouldn't wake up the next day. I know that. I understand that. I see that look in her eye right now when she was looking at you with that fist drawn. Okay. Yeah. Somebody told me there was a place for me that just hadn't dug it yet. I remember that one. Okay, so a lot of times we'll act in ignorance. Does not God wink at our ignorance? Yes, the scripture says that. Yes, he does. And if you think he doesn't laugh, you tell him your plans, remember? Yeah. Lord, here's what I've got planned for you to do today. Folks, it just doesn't work that way. Look at fact number 5. My calling is permanent. My calling is permanent. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 in the New International Version and 11:29 in the New Living Translation. First, the NIV. God's gift and his calling are irrevocable. In the NLT, God's gift and his call can never be withdrawn. I've heard people say, well, God's taken the calling away from them. Would that not say then that he made a mistake giving it to you? God doesn't make a mistake. You and I make mistakes. But God says, here's your calling. Now here's the great hope that you and I have as Christians. You see, we can waste half our life, three-fourths, two-thirds of our life. We can waste it. But it's always a new day, every day. And every day, God still has your calling. As long as you have breath, your calling is there. And when you come to your senses, remember what Jesus said about Peter? He says, and when Peter comes to his senses, or you tell Peter that when he comes to his senses, come see me. Remember? When he comes to his senses, he's out of his head. He's talking foolishness. Tell him to come to me. Now you think of that. We're always with that hope. We're just a prayer away. But it's still your calling. Now, can I catch up on things that are past? No, but let me tell you. To be able to stand in the presence of God, realizing that all of this time was wasted, and out of his great mercy and love, you got to see the souls that are there because you finally came to your senses and picked up his calling, and you went about your father's business. Anytime you can start. Who's miserable? Again, think of this. They say, well, the Christians got, you know, the good end, both sides. You know, they just got it made. Especially you Baptists, because you Baptists can once saved, always saved. It doesn't mean it. I heard them say the same thing about Catholics. You Catholics, all you have to do, you can sin all you want to, go to the priest and get forgiveness. Well, I am sorry, folks. That's true. If it bothers people, I'm sorry. But yes, it's not the man that forgives me, a priest or any other human being, but I can go to my Father in heaven and be forgiven at any moment, at any second, at any time. I can do that. What's the problem? Too many are not asking for forgiveness. Well, the punishment for the Christian, let me do this with you. The punishment for a Christian sin is the sin. Let me do it again. The punishment for a Christian sin is the sin. Your heart will get broke. You'll come sick from within. God does not, God may chasten us by standing back, but he will never allow the destruction by the enemy of us. Do we harm people? Yes, we will. But once again, if we are if we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's always hope. There always is. You're going to remember the country parson again, his little clips that he used to have. Heaven is a place where you meet a lot of people you thought you was getting away from when you left earth. And heaven is a place when you get there where that the people there are going to be as surprised to see you as you are to see them. And that's about the way it is. I think it goes a little deeper than that. But okay. Fact number six, here's your attendance part. Here's where the body of Christ comes in. My calling is connected to others. Okay. Doesn't basic Christian sense tell us that if I have a calling, then that calling's got to affect others instead of just myself? Oh, you're called to go out and have fun and get wealthy and do whatever you want to do. You just go right ahead and you do that. Oh, don't worry about anybody else. That's not the Christian calling. The calling is connected to others. Look at Ephesians 4:4. We are all one body. We have the same spirit, and we have all been called to the same glorious future hope. Okay? I have hope for the future. My hope for the future is not based on politics. My hope for the future is not based on a human being. My hope for the future is that this is God's world. We are God's people, and he will make it come out his way. It's going to happen his way. And I'm going to be in heaven because of his promise when I accept Christ as Lord and Savior that I shall never see death. Therefore, I'm going to be there with people, some who think they don't want me to be there with them. Oh, Lord, if they're going to heaven, I don't want it. It's just like the country song, if heaven ain't a little like Dixie, I don't want to go. Yeah, that one, isn't that right? Yeah. Is that it? If Texas, is that it? Texas?
Texas, Dixie, Kentucky.
Yeah,
South.
Oh, mercy. South, Dixie, Dixie. Okay, listen to Hebrews 3:1. Brothers and sisters, you are holy partners in a heavenly calling. Don't you like that? Holy partners in a heavenly calling. Okay, without each other undergirding one another. Why do you think the structure of the churches are falling? Anytime you look in a church and all you listen to is griping and moaning and groaning, yak, 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 trying to put down another Christian, that's why Satan can set back. He don't have to tempt us. We're pretty good at just sinning on our own. He doesn't have to bring temptation. The pride of our hearts do that. I know more than you do. I'm better than you are. I'm better looking than you. I'm meaner than you. I never hear anybody sign up. I'm a bigger and better grouch than you are. No, it's always a put down to somebody else. If you ever have to put someone else's character down to build your own, then you have none. You have no character. Okay, fact number seven. God empowers what he calls me to do. Now, he will empower me, and listen to this, he will also empower the what I am to do. Okay, God called me to preach. How do I know? I preach. How would you know if I still told you, well, God has called me to preach? Well, Brother Larry, have you ever preached? No. But he's called me to preach, and I want you to know that if I preached, I think I'd be a good preacher. Well, are you ever going to preach? I doubt it. Because, see, if I can just talk about it and not do it, I can't make any mistakes on that one, can I? You know, how are you going to think evil of me about preaching when you never heard whether I preach or teach? Think about that. That's the human condition getting involved in our lives. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I now urge you to live the life to which God called you. Do you know that none of us are perfect? Had you all ever thought about it? Yeah, I know. None of us are perfect. But we are urged to live the life to which God called you. Now, do you know that, have you ever watched somebody do something and you would say, you know, I would never do that. He or she professes to be a Christian and I never would do that. Well, that's when you need to be backing off. Well, you know, just like with me, when I would go into the bars or any of that to get somebody out, and somebody sees me turning around in a liquor store over here, and before you know it, yep, Larry Vance coming out of that liquor store, had a bag. But you think of that. How many times would people condemn somebody else that they went in Bourbon Street Chaplain, led Joe Murray to Christ, I'm connected on a chain here with you people. Somebody undergird me on Bob Harrington, the chaplain of Bourbon Street. Judy and I and our family got to be with him at Franklin Crossroads. He led in a revival at Franklin Crossroads at that time. Joe Murray. And he started singing, Set My Soul Afire, Lord. And himself, he said, I don't have a good voice, but I start singing. He started singing that. And I mean, you could just hear the love of God in him. Well, Bob Harrington had fallen. The chaplain of Bourbon Street had fallen. Somebody say they fell from grace. No, he didn't. He just did something stupid. And it hurt him. But I remember Joe Murray saying, they can say anything they want to about that man. That man led me to Christ. Joe was a businessman on Bourbon Street. And so Bob Harrington would go in, and the bartenders would call him in there when they see somebody depressed, and he'd go in and share Christ. Well, he was one to Christ sitting at a bar stool, drinking. And now continues in his ministry. He's been with Lawrence in revival again, and leading people to Christ, okay? In the holy callings, God will empower you to stand even when you've messed up. Do you know what it takes? It takes, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But it doesn't affect my calling, folks. Ephesians 4:1, I now urge you to live the life to which God called you. That's a continual urging. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, that is why we always pray for you, asking our God to help you live the kind of life he called you to live. We pray that with his power, God will help you do the good things you want and perform the works that come from your faith. Okay, meaning, once again, God's, I called you. But Larry, you can study all you want to, which we're commanded to. You can do all of that. But it all amounts to your faith. You can know the answer scripturally, but if you give the answer that you know is biblically correct, and you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in it, that person, it just shoots right over them. You and I must preach and teach to the point to where a little child can understand exactly what you say. Little kids don't like big words. And most preachers who use big words most of the time don't know what they mean anyway. Or when they do and they shoot it over the top of a child or a person that, doesn't have that education or whatever, that's a great part about being a hillbilly from Kentucky. See, you're not smart enough to mess up. So what you do is you accept through faith the calling, and knowing that in that calling, then you share Christ. How many times you heard people say, well, I'm not qualified to teach a Sunday school class. I'm not qualified to preach either, folks. If I thought I was qualified to preach, I'd get out of the pulpit. I'm called to preach. Jesus is qualified. I'm kidding. If I were qualified, why would I change the sermon every other Sunday? No, it's according to the Holy Spirit. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Is that the one I'm at?
Yes.
The one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Isn't that what I just said? The one who calls you is faithful, and all he wants us to do is stand up there and give him a vehicle. You stand, Larry. I'll take care of the rest of it. And every time you start to get in the way, have you noticed that it's just a while ago, like, I have no idea where I was. And you all didn't either because you didn't help me out with the Bourbon Street dude, Bob Harrington. But God bless me and allowed me to remember it on my own. Fact number 8. There's a prize for living out my calling. Okay, and Geneva, this goes back also to what we talk about, the punishment for the Christian. One of the greatest punishments for a Christian, again, when I'm talking about the sin is the punishment, it is the prize of hope, to where you have that feeling that Christ has accomplished something through you. And when you miss that, then you're miserable. Oh, if I had only done it. How many times have you listened to families when somebody was either killed or somebody got hurt or somebody died this way or that way, and people say, if only I hadn't told them to go down to the store, if only I hadn't done this, or only I hadn't done that. The same way with us as human beings, I know there's a prize. I am supposed to look for that reward. As a matter of fact, I do not bless God if I don't look for the reward. I used to think that was selfish, Brother Randy. You're looking for the reward. But the reward is whatever I can do that'll glorify my Father in heaven through his Son, Jesus. That reward I get to give to Jesus and lay it at his feet, recognizing that he's the one who did it and allowed me to be a part of it. Every soul that is saved that you get to be around to watch, that salvation is of the Lord, not by us, but the blessing of it is we got to be there when the Lord did the saving. The hurting part for us is when we know we should have done it and we didn't do it. That's almost like the sin of omission. And people say, well, I don't think the sin of omission is as bad as the sin of committing a sin. And the scripture says they're equally as bad. You're going to be miserable either way it goes. So, okay. Philippians 3:14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, the winning part has to do with the gift we get in our crowns that we set at the feet of Christ. We're wanting to win one for Jesus, remember? We're wanting to do it to glorify Christ. You cannot glorify Christ going by your own power. Doesn't work. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, the last verse. Live the kind of life that pleases God. Now, you will never live the kind of life that pleases people. You ever try to please somebody? Gosh, Yeah, well, and the wisdom tells you, stick with God. People are not appreciative a lot of times of even how hard that you do try. Remember again during the panhandlers up in Washington, D.C., and guy that gave him $10 every day when every once a week as he'd walk by, and he'd give him that $10. And then one week, the businessman didn't have the $10. And as the businessman walked on by because he didn't have to give him, guy looked at him and said, "Can you believe?" and yelled out a curse word that he didn't give me my $10 today. And that's about like the generation in which we're living right now. Live the kind of life that pleases God, who calls you to share in his own kingdom and glory. Okay, when God calls you, do you not think he's powerful enough to keep you? And when God calls you to his kingdom, do you really believe that you're not going to make it and get there when you say yes to Jesus Christ? Now, when I look at my life and I think, you know, about that old flag that you've seen Johnny Cash sing about, that rusty old flag or that tattered old flag. Well, we Christians, I've always pictured us that time to go in glory. We look about like that flag. I mean, we have been through hell on earth just focusing on wanting to do what is right part of the time. Part of the time, Christians don't want to do what's right. We just say, "Nope, I want to sin. This is my day. I want to sin." And as we get ready and as we step over, we look like we've been in a battle. I remember when the bad guys stabbed me on the streets in Louisville going to my car. When I was stabbed and this woman had came out, two women and all the other ex-cons, they're active cons now still. But all of them, you know, they come out and the police officer, as he was picking me up with blood, solid blood and all of that, he said, "You said there was two women." And I said, "Yes, and however other men there was." "And can you describe the woman that hit you? She busted me with a bottle and across the head and all of this stuff. It covered me with glass." And he said, "What'd she look like?" I said, "Only thing I can remember, she looked like she'd been in 100 fights and lost 99 of them." She was one mean-looking woman. And she proved that she was pretty tough also.